So our second reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, and beginning at verse 18. Jesus questioned about fasting. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." And may God bless this reading of his word. So this morning we continue our series, New. We're actually at number 8. How time flies when you're enjoying yourself. So here we are, new wine. As we listen into this discussion between the Pharisees and the people and John's disciples as they speak with Jesus, they're talking about the appropriateness of fasting. And as this discussion goes on, Jesus says at one point, "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." So as we look at this subject of new wine today, there's three teaching points I think we can take from this. The first thing I want us to see today is that Jesus is like new wine. In short, what Jesus is doing in this conversation, he is saying that he is the new wine, and the old wineskins are the old ways of doing things that were represented by John's disciples fasting. The old structures, the old rituals, the old religion of the Old Testament was going to be surpassed. A new day was coming, and in fact, a new day had come. It had arrived with Jesus. He was bringing a new start. He was bringing a new beginning. And he uses this very memorable picture of new wine and an old wineskin. In those days, they did not store wine as we would today in glass bottles, but the containers were made of animal skins. At first, the benefit of this was that when the new wine was poured into the animal skin, it was able to expand because it was pliable, it was flexible. And so as the new wine began to ferment and mature and expand, so the animal skin, the wine skin, was able to expand as well. However, over the years, of course, that new wineskin would become an old wineskin, and it would begin to dry up and grow hard and brittle, and it would come to the point where it became an old wineskin, and to put new wine into the old wineskin would be trouble. You would find that the wineskin would crack and break, and you would destroy the wineskin, but also you would lose the wine itself. So this is the picture, the parable that Jesus is using. It's a very powerful picture. Jesus, in effect, is saying to the people who were asking him about John's disciples and their fasting, he is saying, things have changed. A new revelation has come. The new kingdom is here. And the old way of doing things is like an old wineskin. But I am the new wine, and things need to change. In another passage in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is speaking about John the Baptist, and he says this, "I tell you the truth, among those born of woman, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In other words, what Jesus was saying is that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which he is now bringing in, marks a new era. John the Baptist was the greatest born of woman. He was the greatest because he was the closest to Jesus in time. And John marks the end of the old era of the Old Testament. He is the closest to Jesus, but it was the end of the old. It marks the old wineskin. But now that Jesus has come, those who will trust in Jesus will be even greater than John the Baptist, great as he was. We, you and I, are greater even than John the Baptist because of our connection to Jesus, because we are in the new period, the New Testament, the new covenant. The new wine has come. And so, up until this time, what John the Baptist did was good. It was great. It was good to fast. But it was all part of the old way of thinking. And we who live after John are now greater than him because Jesus has come. Jesus calls himself the bridegroom. He uses the analogy of a wedding. He says, at a wedding, guests don't fast, they feast, because the bride and the bridegroom are there. Why would you fast? Why would you deprive yourself of these good things whenever the bridegroom and the bride are there? It's a time of celebration. And so Jesus is saying that, yes, he's the new wine, but he's also the bridegroom. He has come. It is time to celebrate, not to fast. Earlier, Heather read for us the first miracle that Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. It was at a wedding. It's a very famous miracle where Jesus turned water into wine. And it is kind of backing up what we're saying here. Because they run out of wine, which is a very serious problem for the host. And Jesus instructs them to fill 6 water jars filled to the brim with water. It's interesting that it's 6 water jars. 6 is the number of incompleteness. And there's a lot of 7s in John's gospel because 7 is the number of completeness and perfection. But anyway, these 6 water jars are filled to the brim with water. And Jesus turns them into wine, but not just any old wine, but new wine, the best wine, mature wine that is flavorsome and tasty. And the host says, my goodness, this is the best wine. And in effect, what Jesus is doing through this miracle is he's making the same point. A new age has come. A new time has come. The better has come. The old is going away. The old represented by those 6 stone water jars. The old represented by the water in them, the water of Judaism. The old represented by the old wineskin. It's gone. He is the new wine. This is a new revolution. This is a new time. This is a new era. The law, the priesthood, the temple, the sacrificial system, even the Sabbath, all of these good things which had helped the Jews to worship God and follow God, albeit not ultimately save them from sin, all these things were a shadow of what was to come in Jesus Christ. He is the new wine. A new time has come. The Messiah is here, the Anointed One. Darrell Buck says, Jesus is more than a reformer of Judaism. He came to refashion it into something fresh. Jesus himself said that he came to fulfill, to complete the law. It was a new time. So here was a time to celebrate his presence. It's not a time for fasting. But sadly, very few people saw it that way. They wanted to go back to the old ways. They wanted to rely on the old wineskins. Even John's disciples and their fastings, good as that was, it's no longer needed. John marked the end of an old era. The bridegroom had come. He was present. Of course, at one point, John himself wasn't even sure about this. He was in prison under death sentence, and he needed to be encouraged by Jesus, that Jesus was the one and is the one. So here's the first teaching point. Jesus is the new wine. He is the most special person who has ever lived. He came to build on all that we have in the Old Testament. It was good stuff, as Jesus said. The old was good, but it has now been fulfilled and completed in him. He's the new wine. And you cannot put this new wine into the old, brittle container of the Old Testament. God was doing a new thing. It was a new day. As John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So now we come to the second teaching point out of this. Jesus is the new wine, but secondly, Jesus changes everything. And whenever Jesus changes everything, this has an impact on the container. The container needs to change and be flexible. Jesus comes in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to change us from the inside out. This picture of new wine is also not only a picture of Jesus, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus comes into our lives by his Holy Spirit, he begins to change things. And we have been looking at this all through this series of new. Next week, we will develop, God willing, a bit more how he changes our attitudes and our minds and our thinking. But as the wine of the Holy Spirit fills us, we have different priorities and new joys. In Acts chapter 2, we have the story of Pentecost. And there the Holy Spirit fell, and the observers who saw the disciples and saw all that was happening, they actually said at one point, they're filled with new wine. They saw the giddiness. They saw the joy. They heard this strange tongue speaking. And that was the first thing they said. They're filled with new wine. But they weren't. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning. It was the new wine of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Jesus wants his followers to be filled full with the Holy Spirit, with his joy, with his power, with his gifting. There is nothing quite like the presence of Jesus in our hearts. Sometimes people think that they have the presence of Jesus because they go to a certain church, maybe because they've been baptized, even taking the sacrament of communion. But it is something special to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. His presence changes everything as the new wine flows into our lives and into our hearts and into our minds. He brings a new perspective. When the new wine of the new kingdom flows in, he brings a new joy, which is actually quite hard to put into words. And I suppose that's why Jesus kept resorting to pictures and parables and analogies, because it's actually sometimes more felt than telt. Jesus, therefore, speaks about new wine. He speaks about a new song in our mouths. He speaks about the new joy of a wedding feast. He speaks about a new birth. All these new things to try and get across the change, the difference it makes when Jesus is living within us. There is nothing to beat the presence of Jesus in our hearts. There was an old preacher who talked about the expulsive power of a new affection, the expulsive power of a new affection. In other words, when an affection for Jesus grows, it pushes out the affections for the old way of living, the old habits, the old things that need to go. Just like in the springtime, as the sap rises and the temperature rises and the trees come into bloom, the leaves and the buds, they start to push out the old growth. They push out the old withered leaves because the new has come. The new leaves are flourishing, and they need room to flourish and to grow. When people are thinking about giving their lives to Christ, so often they think about the cost of what they're giving up. And there's a good side to that, because there is a cost. It is not a light decision. It's a very important decision. There is a cost. But sometimes we emphasize the negative instead of the positive, that whenever we invite Jesus Christ into our lives, the new affection for Jesus drives out the old affections. We find that the desire for the old habits begins to die because Jesus is now in residence. As we taste the new wine, we have less of a taste for the old stuff that we were into. We see that He is better. He satisfies, He fulfills, He gives us a new joy that surpasses the old things. And so that's what the old preacher meant, the expulsive power of a new affection. I'm not saying it will not continue to be a struggle with our old sinful habits, but in my experience, the more that we open ourselves up to the Spirit of Jesus, to the new wine of the kingdom, the easier it is to push away the old sinful habits. Jesus is the new wine. The new wine changes us, changes everything, in fact. And thirdly and finally, I think the third teaching point out of this is that we need to pray that we will be the new wineskins, that we will be open to the Spirit filling us and changing us and expanding within us, so that God gets more of the glory. We need to be open and pliable and flexible for God to build His kingdom into our lives. We must welcome the new things that God wants to do in our lives. And so we need hearts that are continually renewed and reformed and open. He wants to change us, and He wants to invite us into an exciting adventure with Him. Now, of course, as Christians, and especially those of us who have been Christians for a longer time, as we get older as Christians, more mature as Christians, just like when we get older physically, we can become more brittle. We can become more hard and unchanging. But actually, the closer we get to Jesus, and the more He fills us with the wine of His Holy Spirit, actually, the more pliable, the more flexible, the more open to change we ought to be as we are sanctified by Jesus, and as we live with Him, and as we commune with Him, and pray with Him, and talk with Him. And so as we grow in maturity with Christ, we actually should become more risk-taking, not less. We should be actually more open to where He may be leading us, and not less. We need to become more of a new wineskin that is open to the giddiness of the new wine. In the words of Joel, quoted again significantly by Peter at Pentecost in Acts, he says, yes, the young men may see visions, and you almost expect that of the young men. But the old men will dream dreams. How wonderful would it be that as we grow older, that those of us who are older will continue to dream dreams of what God is doing and what God wants to do through us. Not just leave it to the young ones, but we are dreaming dreams as older people. We are open and flexible. We are like those new wineskins, pliable, open, to change and to the new thing that Jesus is doing. As Willis reminded us so well last week, God is always on the move. God is always doing a new thing. And whatever age we are, whether we're young or whether we're old, how wonderful it is to be open to what God is doing. If I am hearing the voice of the Spirit, I need to be flexible. I need to give Jesus the space to speak to me and to change me, to expand like the new wine. So as we close today, here are the teaching points. Jesus is the new wine. Receive him. The new wine changes everything. As the Holy Spirit comes into our being, he begins to change our perspectives, and he gives us a new joy. And thirdly, wouldn't it be great if we were all like the new wineskins, open, flexible, pliable to what God is doing, and then we obey him as we follow. Jesus has come. The new wine is here. The new wine of the kingdom. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that in all of our hearts, mine and all who are listening today, that we would come and ask that you would make us to be open to what you are doing, what you're doing in this generation, in this day, amongst the people that we live and move. And we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ's presence would shine out from us, that people would see that we have tasted of the new wine, and it is so good. We pray for the wine of the Holy Spirit to continue to flow through our lives, that your church would be built up and that the kingdom of God would become more present. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.